Okay. So, over the course of Perek Lamed Aleph in Bereishis, so we have the story of Yaakov getting into a big fight with his father-in-law Lavan, and he has he says to Lavan, "Ki v'chol kochi abarti es avicha." He says, "With all of my strength, I worked for your father." That's actually what he's saying to his wives. "I worked with all my strength for your father, and therefore I should be paid appropriately." Shneimar, and he was paid. Shneimar vayifrot ha'ish meod mo, that he got rewarded. He actually became very wealthy from his time working for Lavan. So the Rambam, that's actually quoted by the Rambam in his Hilchos Schirus, in the laws of being a hired worker. The very last halacha, Perek Yud Gimel, halacha Zayin, so he says as follows: Kederach shemuzhar balabayis shelo yigzol schar ani velo yakvenu kacha ani muzhar shelo yigzor malachas balabayis. The person has to be careful not to steal from a person who is poor, or do something to hold back somebody who is poor. So too, he has to be careful about holding back a person that he's working for. He's going to be mevatel. He's going to do a little less here, a little less there. He's going to spend the whole day wasting time avoiding things. Rather, he is chayiv. He is obligated. If you're a hired worker, you're obligated to be careful with oneself with regards to time. That's Rambam says. Hey. Then he goes on and says, Sharei hikbidu chachamim al bracha revias shel birchas amazon shelo yivarechasa. He says, first of all, we see that the Gemara tells us that the Rabbanan were makbid with the fourth bracha of birchas amazon. Right, and the Birchas Hamazon has four brachos, and then harachamans that come at the end. So the very fourth bracha was added later, right? Bonei Yerushalayim Amen ends bracha number three, and then bracha number four was added later on to give thanks to Hashem that the people who were killed in Beitar, that their bodies didn't decay for several days. That's one of the Tisha B'Av stories, and that we're happy for on Tu B'Av, whatever that means. But that bracha would actually be omitted by a person who was a hired worker. If you're a hired worker and you're given a little bit of time left to eat, so you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to bench, but you're not allowed to bench too long. You're not allowed to bench and add the fourth bracha in. And then v'chein chayiv l'avod b'chol kochen, you have to work as hard as you can. As we see by Yaakov, that he says, I worked very hard for my father-in-law, and the Rambam doesn't include this, but it's unsaid is, and even though he tried to cheat me, and even though he did cheat me, and even though he drove me crazy, and even though he tried to change my wages, and even though he was mean to me, and even though he tried to perhaps even kill us, right? Still, I put all my effort in to help, to serve Lavan, despite all that. And therefore, I was able to get the reward for those things that I did. So that is considered the premise of Hilchos Poland, that a person is responsible to work as hard as they can in order to, on behalf of whoever is hiring them.
Yeah.
So there is included in that would be the halacha right before. The halacha right before in the Rambam, and this Rambam is quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well, is that not only does a person have to work as hard as they can while they are working for their boss, but one is even required to work as hard for their boss even when they are not at that time working for their boss. What does that mean? So says the Rambam, "Aval in hapol rishai lasos malachto belayla ulahasker asvo biyom." A person is not permitted to do work at night and then rent themselves out during the day, meaning be a hired worker during the day, and also have a separate job at night, because he won't be able to focus very much. Or to plow with the par at night and then rent it out during the day, or rent himself out during the day. Nor is a person permitted to starve himself to give more food to his children, because by doing so he won't be healthy and he won't be energized and he will be stealing from his boss. Was he will be weakened in terms of strength, and he'll be weakened in terms of his mind, and he won't be able to work with his full energy. So a person is responsible, A, to work very hard while they are at work, and even to make sure that they are prepared appropriately to be at work in the with the appropriate amount of energy. So how does one define that? That means that a person is hired to work 8 hours a day, so they have to spend the rest of their time sleeping. Like, what is that? How do you work that out? So with regards to that, it all goes halkol k'minhag hamedina. Whatever is the regular minhag, either what's considered pre-existing, I mean, whatever is agreed upon. I mean, a person says, "I'll work for you for X amount of hours, but I need to be able to work a second job for this that." Meaning, yes, I'll work for you 9 to 5, but I also want to be an Uber driver for 3 hours at night, right? So that is something that can be agreed upon. However, if a person is already working a full-time job and then says, "You know, for a couple of extra bucks, I would like to be an Uber driver," so it's possible that the boss can maybe say, "Sorry, you know, that's already beyond. I'm not going to allow you to do that." How does one figure that out? So you file the minhag hamedina, whatever the custom is of the land. How do you figure that out? If there's a disagreement about what the custom of the land is, how do you figure that out? So that might ultimately have to be adjudicated by a beis din, right? Somebody was going to ultimately have to make that decision as to whether that is allowed or not. So just like to take a moment and go, there's a couple of interesting things with regards to that halacha which the Rambam quoted. The Rambam said something interesting. The Rambam said, "Oh, and by the way, therefore you're permitted to, not only permitted to, but you are prohibited from saying the fourth bracha when you should be at work." This comes up. It could be that a boss would permit someone to daven mincha. Does that mean that they're allowed to go to a minyan for mincha? Does it mean that they're allowed to go to another floor to daven mincha? Right, in Manhattan, there's a lot of office buildings that have mincha minyanim. There might even be one or two in Philadelphia. So is one permitted to travel there? So again, all this follows minhag hamedina, whatever was agreed upon. There's plenty of places. The boss is probably is well within his rights to say, "No, I don't want you going anywhere to daven mincha with a minyan. If you want to daven mincha, you can daven mincha here." Right? It should be agreed upon beforehand. So the Shulchan Aruch has a entire section, Siman Kuf Tzadi Aleph in Orach Chaim in Hilchos Berachas Hamazon, "Im ha'poalim mechuyavim levarich." Are poalim required to do Berachas Hamazon? And Halacha Aleph is that they would do everything except the first bracha you would say in full. The second two brachos you would actually merge together and conclude with one bracha, because that's going to save time. Boy, we're talking about an extra 3 seconds here. But that's going to save time. And the fourth bracha one would not say at all. However, if the owner is actually sitting with him, so then you'd be allowed to bench all four brachos, meaning if they're all benching together, so okay, so we're benching together, and the boss knows exactly what we're doing. So that's halacha aleph. However, and that's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says that explicitly. The Gemara says that if there's a hired worker, he would not say the fourth bracha of benching. Comes halacha beis and says, "V'ha'idna," but nowadays, "li'ola mevarchim kol arba brachos." Nowadays, the minhag is to say all four brachos. "She'ein beret erach b'nei adam achshav lahakpid b'kach." Because apparently nowadays the bosses are not as strict with their workers as they were back in the day. Therefore, one is permitted to say, and therefore obligated to say, all four brachos of benching. And that's probably the assumption that the boss made. I mean, most bosses don't know this halacha. Oh, you only say three and not four. And nowadays everybody says four. And therefore, the assumption is that you get to say all four brachos of benching during your lunch break from work. The Aruch HaShulchan goes a little bit further. The Aruch HaShulchan on this halacha adds in, not only that, but even if your boss tells you explicitly, "Oh, I only want you, it's tax season, I only want you saying all three brachos, the first three brachos of benching, I don't want you saying the fourth, I don't permit you to say the fourth bracha of benching," says the Aruch HaShulchan, he doesn't have the right to make that demand anymore. That nowadays, that the minhag is that everybody says all four brachos of benching, so the voice is not allowed to demand from you that you're not that you're going to do and you're not going to do anything less than that. So that's not right. That That's what the minhag is nowadays. Nowadays you get a lunch hour, or you get a lunch half an hour, or whatever, right? So then you use accordingly. But doesn't seem to be the system that they're working on during the time of the Gemara.
Well, the flip side of it is seemingly in modern days, who only works a 40-hour week? So, you may only get paid for 40 hours, but, you know, if you're more or less constantly on call,
right.
You know, then the boss shouldn't be able to hassle you about saying
that
a couple of extra words.
That could be. I have a friend who was working, who was working at a pretty prestigious law firm. And he left that and entered into chinuch. He said what convinced him that it was time to leave was that he was working all. He was there all night on some project, mm-hmm. and it was September. He's working there all night on project, and it's 5 a.m. and he goes to the boss. Listen, can I go and say slichus? The boss is like, all right, make it quick. He's like, forget it. I am out of this. Okay, so one more halacha that is mentioned in this little section here in Shulchan Aruch. That is that Asur Lasos Malacha Ba'odu Mavarech. One is not permitted to do malacha while you are benching. I mean, the flip side of this is you're not allowed to bench too long because you're going to have to get back to work. The flip side of that is one is not permitted to be doing other things while you are benching. That's considered inappropriate. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah records, and the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this as well. Yeah, that's a violation of a pasuk that appears in the Tochacha in Vayikra. Then the Tochacha of Vayikra. It comments, I didn't write down the exact pasuk here, but the pasuk here is quoted as, Rabbi Al-Zeh Neber Vim Telchu Imi Keri, that if you follow me in like a haphazard way, and then all these curses are going to come upon you. So what do you mean, you're following me? It sounds like it's good enough. No, you're not devoting your full attention to the mitzvahs, to the things that you have to do. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan invokes. I think the Mishnah Berurah, right, Mishnah Berurah invokes this as well as a violation of that. That if one does other things while they are in the course of benching, so then you're in violation of that din. So that is that's an issue. I mean, people do this, and people do it all the time. There's perhaps there's a strong Yetzer Hara to do this, to learn when one isn't supposed to be learning, to learn during during various parts of davening when it's inappropriate to be learning. Right? There might be a strong Yetzer Hara to do that, perhaps because you're not really doing the correct thing at that point. A person is supposed to do what they're supposed to be doing at the appropriate times. So when one is benching, they're not supposed to be doing other things. So this comes up. This comes up in other sections of Shulchan Aruch as well, where it talks about walking. That mi'ikar adin, a person is allowed to be traveling, is allowed to continue walking while they are benching. But it's best if a person doesn't do that. Where is that? That's in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. Sorry, not Kuf Pei. No, it doesn't make sense to be Kuf Pei Dalet. No, Tov Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Yud Aleph Im Hay Mahalich B'Derech Ba'Ochel. If a person is on the road and ate, Ein Sarach Leishiv Levarach Lefish Ein Daiti Miyushev Eslev. Which the person is not going to be Miyushev. So what is that talking about? That's talking about a person who is really on the road. I mean, really on the road in the middle of nowhere. For him to stop, so that's considered dangerous for him.
Right.
But there are issues about if a person is driving, so should a person bench while they are driving? So ideally a person shouldn't. Ideally a person should find a place to pull over to the side of the road and bench for, take 2, 3, 4 minutes, whatever it is to bench, and then continue on with one's path. There is a discussion that,
there's similar kinds of thoughts in the Mishnah Berurah from Kabbalah Tefillah.
Yes.
We've been doing too with a worry about, if you have to stop to daven, or you have to stop to do certain things.
Right.
In the middle of nowhere, what do you do? Anyway.
Correct, correct. No, a lot of these, the Shulchan Aruch itself has a lot of cross-referencing to Hilchos Tefillah. That the same idea, that person is not supposed to be doing other things while they are in the middle of Tefillah. And then there are a few exceptions that are quoted in the Shari Tshuva, as well as in the Piskei Halachos quotes them. Piskei Tshuvos quotes a couple of examples as well, that if it's to enhance your Kavanah, so if you need, if you have a kid that is nagging you and pulling on your leg and asking you whether, I don't know, you could, you know, put the combination into, they could use their iPad, right? I don't know, just off the top of my head. So it is appropriate to turn to them and say, right, to give them a nod where that they should not be doing that at that time. So that is allowed to do, but it doesn't mean you should be doing it. That means you know, pausing for a moment of your tefillah to give them, to do what you need to do and then come back to it. Could also mean that if you're trying to daven in a shul and the child is carrying on a little bit, so to take the kid out of shul, right, that is appropriate, because that is, A, they're disturbing everybody else, and even if they're not disturbing everybody else, they're disturbing you. So you remove them, and then you could get back to your tefillah. So probably the rubric is, the question is this interrupt, what you're about to do to interrupt your tefillah, is that to enhance your tefillah, or is that to further interrupt your tefillah? So that's probably the litmus test that one would use in order to figure out which types of interruptions are appropriate. But all of this comes back to what we were talking about, is how we got into this, is the idea of Hilchos Poalim. But that is included in the Rambam's rendition, that a person who is a hired worker, so they are required to put all that they possibly can into their work, which, to the point that it might include not benching like one normally would. They added, by the way, Bizman Hazeh, the Piskei Tshuvos points out that Bizman Hazeh could be that the boss is not allowed to tell you that you're not allowed to say the fourth bracha. The boss could tell you, though, you're not allowed to say the harachmans. He could tell you that you're not allowed to say parts at the end. And I didn't see this beferish, but I would assume he could also tell you that you're not allowed to daven with a lot of kavanah. That you're allowed, that you know, you have 8 minutes for mincha, and that's it. Not that he might not be considered the biggest tzaddik in the world, but he might not be considered the biggest rush in the world either, for him to make that type of imposition. You have, you know, X amount for mincha, and you make it work during that time. So a few other things along the lines of Hilchos Poalim in terms of what a worker is responsible to do, or actually now we'll mention the things that they are not responsible to do, and they are not responsible necessarily to continue working even when they don't want to work anymore. That a poal, somebody who is a hired worker, they are permitted to say, I quit. They are permitted to quit, even though they have a 3-year contract, 5-year, 8-year, 10-year contract. So it's the opposite of the way it works in the NFL, right? In the NFL, the owner could say, sorry, we don't want you anymore, and cut them. And the worker is, well, actually, this part does work in the NFL also. The worker has the right to hold out on their contract, right? So the same thing here. They could work, they could say, I ain't working. Now, a contract is still binding for sports teams. They can't, because he's not allowed to say, oh, I'm not going to work for you, I'm going to work for the Mets, right? That doesn't work. They have the non-compete clause. Yeah. So that is allowed within the contract, but a person is permitted to quit, retire, when they feel like it. How do we know that? So the Gemara itself addresses that. And the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, that Hashem says, b'nei Yisrael work for me, they are my avadim, and they aren't avadim la'avadim. They aren't servants, they aren't slaves for slaves, unless, of course, they are a slave for a slave. Unless they are in the category of an Eved Ivri, they are not bound by those contracts, and therefore they are permitted to leave. And not only are they permitted to leave, they are permitted to earn all the money that they have made up to that period. So if a person says, I'm, you know, in the middle of the day, I am quitting right now, they are paid up to the moment that they were doing work for you. That's if they are a poel. It was in shul when we gave that Uber shiur a couple of weeks ago. Not like the really long shiur, the shiur about Uber. So there we highlighted the distinction between a poel and a kablin, that a poel is a hired worker for a certain amount of time, while a kablin is considered an independent contractor. So an independent contractor, it would not work for them. So if a person, if an Uber driver is considered an independent contractor, so they're not allowed to drive you halfway. So if they drive you halfway, so you don't have to pay them at all. As opposed to a pull out, they're a pull, so technically they could drive you part of the way and you would owe them for the amount that they had thus far taken you. So the only exception to this rule is, there are a couple exceptions, there's a book that I have called Business Halacha, a very clear book. Rabbi Ari Marburger wrote this. Right? Ari Marburger is, I think, a dayan in one of the Bati Dinim in Lakewood. But I've spoken with him. I've called him up and had conversations with him about the topics. Very down to earth. Really, really gets businesses and things like that. So he wrote this book, which is just very clear, all in English. Even the footnotes are in English, where he talks about quitting a job and gives you a few of those exceptions where he's not allowed to quit. Probably the most common of which is if that would be a time-sensitive thing, meaning quitting at that time would cause the employer a loss. So the example that he gives is, what? What would be the most obvious example of somebody who would quit would cause their owner a loss? An accountant who quits on April 10th, right? So an accountant is they probably feel like slaves at that point anyways, so they are probably literally have the halakha of avadim that they wouldn't be permitted to quit at those specific times of the year. Can he quit in order to get a better job elsewhere? So that's a machlokes, which he discusses here in a footnote. Ayin Sham, if anyone wants to take a look, I'll be happy to send you copies. Okay, one more Shaila, and this just looking around for practical issues in Hilchos Poland. So came across this very short two-paragraph tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Simon Ayin Dalet. What is it? Shvisa b'yeshiva kishe'ichru l'shalim schar hamilamdim. What does that mean? Are rebbeim allowed to strike if they haven't been paid in a timely manner? Is that an approach? Are rebbeim in a yeshiva, right? So it's not just are people allowed to strike. Are rebbeim allowed to strike? And there is a loss for that. Not just their own issues of striking, but you're also not teaching Torah for those days. So is it within the rights of rebbeim to strike when they haven't been paid appropriately? The case he's dealing with. And it seems like he's writing to the principal, not to the rebbeim. That's what it seems here. But
the principal brought it up.
I mean, the principal said, "Oh, you're not allowed to."
Yeah.
Right.
The kasha was sent.
The Shiloh was asked to Rav Moshe, are they allowed? That's what it seems.
Okay.
So I'll reread it again and figure out exactly why I thought that. Okay. So what does he? So what does he say? So two paragraphs. He named the davar inyan hashavisos. Or in parentheses, striken the yeshiva shuba etzem davar ha'aser mitzad bittul Torah. So you're not usually allowed to strike because of all the bittul Torah that's going to be caused. Achshel pamim rechokim, for once in a long while, pamim rechokim being very rare circumstances, hu davar mukra. It makes sense. Ba'ofen shu heter, that might be permissible mitzad shabittul hu hakiyum, that being mevatel will actually be a kiyum, right? That by nullifying work, by taking time off, will actually enhance things. Why? Because teachers can't teach appropriately when they're nervous about if they're going to get paid. Therefore, anytime there's going to be a strike, you have to, COVID Rosh Gadol, you have to think about it very much. And you should ask a shaila beforehand. He says, however, it's going to be hard for there to be somebody to be able to pass it appropriately in this case, meaning to get involved and know all the cases, etc. Right? It's hard to do, but you have to really think about it. V'lachein, he says, b'shoshenosin lamor shnei checks ba'ad mashachayvim lahem v'nisha rak check echad. So here's the case. They've got it. There are apparently 3 months of back pay. I'm assuming months, but maybe it's 3 pay periods, right? And they didn't pay him for 3 pay periods, and they threatened to strike, and they gave him 2. They gave him 2 out of the 3. So is that enough? So says Rav Moshe, Eini roa bezeh shum tzarech la'asos shvisa. I don't think that in that case it's appropriate to strike. V'yachol limsur b'shmi shechas v'shal la'asos shvita b'ofen zeh. And you're allowed to pass along in my name that chas v'shal they should do this. So that's why it was implied to me that it was the principal who had called him. Ooh. Right? If he tells the principal, you can tell them that Rav Moshe said they shouldn't do it. That they shouldn't do it in this circumstance.
Where they got because, two of the three.
Because you already given two out of three. And hopefully the people who support the yeshiva will give enough money and everybody will be able to be happy. Things will be moved on, they'll be able to vote, everything should be wonderful. So that is thought Lamaisa, where these questions come up. So just quickly to review, right, the Rambam writes the very end of the Hilchos Sefirot is based on a pasuk in our parak. That's why we got to talk about this, where Yaakov says, you know, I worked so hard for your father-in-law, despite the fact, you know, despite the fact that he cheated me and tried to kill me. Right? Besides that, I worked so hard for him, and I did everything that I was supposed to do. So the Rambam uses Yaakov as a paradigm of putting in a full day's work. Therefore, the Rambam says that a person has to take responsibility, to make sure that they're well rested and they're not doing things in their downtime that would ruin their work time. Like taking another job, things like that. And then Rambam also talks about that one would not say all four brachos of Birkas HaMazon. So we talked about that a little bit, that the Shulchan Aruch says that doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. Nowadays, there is the expectation that they would say all four brachos of Birkas HaMazon. And then there is the next idea where the Rambam discusses, not the Rambam, where the Shulchan Aruch discusses that while you are benching, you shouldn't be doing other things during that time. We talked about some of the limitations of that. And then we got into a hired worker is permitted to quit. That's one of his rights. He is permitted to quit and get paid up to the point that he quits. However, to go on strike, so we saw the Shiloh with Rav Moshe about the Lamdin, whether it is appropriate for them to go on strike ever. He said, well, there are, it is conceivable that it is appropriate, but in the specific case at hand that he was dealing with, he didn't feel that it was appropriate in that case. Okay? Then it went long enough, Bruce.